chopping up for the legacy. And welcome to another episode of PMAX's Wild Ride. Apologies for the audio quality on this one. Recording from the inner jacket pocket instead of an outer jacket pocket today. Not properly equipped for herd casting. Today, I want to talk about something that has been getting increasing exposure in the public imagination and in public discourse on education, but something that is like, I don't know, should never be seriously considered, and that's performance pay for teachers. Now, on the surface of it, just sort of like glancing blow without thinking about it, the idea of performance pay for teachers, I'm not going to say makes sense, because no, like, anyone who puts any amount of effort into trying to like work out the actual intricacies of it realizes it's a underdeveloped idea. But like, let's just like briefly entertain the thought. It's like, okay, you know, not all teachers are equal, so we should incentivize teachers to perform better by paying the ones who do better than the other teachers more. And in doing so, we'll build positive teaching behaviors or something like that. Like, I'm not quite sure what the full logic is. Because it immediately starts to fall apart as soon as you start delving into it. So, like, the first thing when you're talking about performance-based pay is, how do you measure performance and how do you account for the impacts the measurements of performance will have on education? Now, let me just sort of explain, because, you know, the people who believe in this need to have these things explained to them like they're 5 years old. So firstly, most basic one, grade performance. So if the, depending on how good the grades are in your class, then that's where your performance is scaled off. There's sort of two ways to do that. I'm going to focus on like high school level. There's two ways to do that at a high school level. It's like, firstly, is you look at how students are performing against the national curriculum, and the other one is simply credit counting. Credit counting, it would depend on if you counted unit standards or if you did it based on achievement standards. So, what's the actual impact going to be? Well, firstly, any kind of performance pay that is based on student performance, even student performance against average for schools in that like socioeconomic decile or whatever, is going to immediately disincentivize any teacher from working in low decile schools. A lot of these schools have issues reaching the same levels of grade success as high decile schools, not because of the students or the teachers there, but because of like societal factors completely outside of their control. If teacher pay is going to be based on student performance under those conditions, it's going to be very difficult to find teachers who are willing to work in those schools, because, like, you know, I can work in the school that has, you know, students who are going to pump out perfect grades, who don't have as significant issues in their private lives, or I can work with the students who are having to leave school at the age of 15, and like not have similar results. So if we break that down on achievement standard versus unit standard, this is the other area where things would break down. If it's just raw amount of credits achieved, then you will see schools shift to doing completely unit standard based. They'll drop level one entirely and they'll just do completely unit standard based courses as a matter of necessity. Unit standards, you can stack credits, you can pass students really easily. They're not as academically rigorous, and they cut off advancement to university. But that'll mean that teachers are getting that performance-based pay. If it's based on achievement standards, then what you'll see is you'll see teachers fighting over having... I guess it will depend on how schools break it down, but I would not put it past some schools, some administrations, there would be a really strong incentive to stream classes and then award the high streaming classes to teachers who are friendly to the faculty or friendly to the board. So they can sort of get that performance pay, while teachers who are maybe more insulated from performance pay hits, or teachers who are less favoured, will be moved to the lower streamed classes. Now, I think even the people who are pushing for performance pay don't want performance pay based on just raw student grade achievement, even student grade achievement relative to other schools. Because as I've hopefully just demonstrated with that really incoherent explanation, the outcomes would be entirely negative for students, teachers, and the like nation at large. Like a teenager could figure out how extremely damaging that kind of performance pay would be. So, okay, we're not going to do it based on that. And then here's one of the ones that's maybe considered a bit stronger is, okay, well, we'll do student improvement. So you track, like, have students improved under this particular teacher? And then you're like, you know, you're measuring how good this teacher is at teaching. Once again, you can't put a teacher's well-being and compensation, you can't base that on student performance, especially not when you're not fixing the core societal issues that are impacting a student's education. You look at the relative funding for teachers, for teacher aides, blah, 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 for, you know, support for neurodiversity between different schools and different areas, and you're going to find massive discrepancies between schools in wealthy communities versus schools in poor communities. This shouldn't be the case. It is the case. If there's no provision made to fix those problems before you put in performance pay, once again, you are literally just asking to remove all the high-quality teachers from low-decile areas, which, pulling the curtain aside, that is the entire point of charter schools. Well, it's not the entire point, but it's one of the benefits of charter schools. It's one of the, like, benefits in air quotes. It's fucking scare quotes. It's one of the benefits of charter schools. It's one of the benefits of introducing performance pay, is getting good teachers out of poor schools. It fucking infuriates right-wing assholes that some of the best teachers in this country are teaching in low-decile schools, are teaching in schools in Porirua in South Auckland, because the pay is the same, if not higher, teaching in those schools compared to teaching in Auckland Grammar or Wellington College or what have you. It absolutely drives them insane that some of the best teachers are teaching in those places. And by introducing these measures, you heavily disincentivize those teachers from teaching in those areas. It's already disincentivized by the conditions, but it's sort of just like, you know, adding a bit of salt to the wound, making it more difficult and potentially even untenable in the case of, like, charter schools. diversion aside. So what's the problem with doing the, like... Okay. Sorry, I just tried to overtake someone, and then they, like, accelerated, and then they braked when I went behind them. Really interesting driving tactics at play. Anyway. So... what's the problem with doing, like, tracking student progress? Once again, wealthier schools are better equipped to progress their students more. And so, once again, you have more incentive to teach at those wealthier schools where you have better support to manage those issues. Student absences aren't as intense. And yeah, you don't have those negative incentives. The other thing that you incentivize, regardless of if you're doing based on grades or student progress, the other thing that you incentivize is schools and teachers just getting rid of students who aren't performing. That increases the incentive to just like bully kids out of school. And it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, that just means that there's bad teachers, blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you were literally going to be like, hey, we'll pay you more if you kick these kids out of school. Like, I don't know, like, who's responsible if kids get kicked out of school at that point? It's sickening. If you're not going to do it based on student performance and sort of do like a more holistic performance-based pay metric. So there's kind of two ways you could go about that. One of them is the way that ACT has proposed, which is giving principals discretionary money to give out, which is the biggest fucking, like, that's so fucking stupid. That's honestly even less intelligent than just doing pure student-based performance, because all you're doing there is being like, hey, principals, give money to your favorite teachers. Like, that's, I don't know, that's, like, that should, like, then what you're getting is, instead of focusing on teaching, teachers are focusing on doing whatever pleases the principal most, and that's going to vary depending on the school. There's principals who value sporting commitments on bunk teachers more than others. There's ones who value academic performance, and then there'll be ones who will just favour whoever's their best mate. That's not a great way, especially when you're talking thousands of dollars. It's not a great way to allocate resources. The other one is some form of holistic teacher grading. And what you're looking at there is spending hundreds of millions of dollars establishing some kind of, like, if you want it to be comprehensive, establishing some kind of, like, teacher oversight, like, observation and oversight thing. Because you wouldn't want to base it on a singular observation. You wouldn't want it to be self-reported in school. Because we already have that system. We already have teachers mutually assessing each other. So you're going to want an independent system if you're doing, like, a big performance pay. Because, like, otherwise, like, if you just do teacher assess, we're just going to say, like, oh, yeah, teachers are, like, this teacher did a great job. Because you're not going to, like, you're not going to be, like, the coworker responsible for your coworker losing out on thousands of dollars of performance pay. Right? That's just asking for a negative work experience. So you're looking at establishing an independent body. There are so many teachers in New Zealand, so they're going to have to go through, do multiple observations, disrupt classrooms, cause more stress for teachers, all for, like, what? So, yeah, it's illogical all the way down. It's very nakedly just a way to split teachers, to cause issues in the profession, to drive a wedge between some teachers and the union, and to try and build incentives to move teachers out of low decile schools so they can be replaced with AI teachers, so they can be replaced with untrained teachers, because in their mind, poor people don't deserve a good education. It's fucking disgusting, and it needs to be called out for what it is. Yeah, thanks for listening. Hope the audio quality on this one isn't a doo-doo. Chopping up and up for the legacy.